There is no access. The media, humanitarian agencies, and even law-abiding civilians in those communities have been prevented and blocked from accessing those communities. We begin to question the rationale and the sincerity of the claim of the military that the attack is targeted at militants, because the same JTF, 2 days after the attack, came up to say that they have destroyed all the militant camps, they've recovered all the arms, and it was a ragtag formation, and they've been disorganized and destabilized. There is this systematic attack that has been going on for almost 10 days now from community to community. And if the whole idea is to root out militants as they claim, then they should allow free access of the press, allow humanitarian agencies to move in. Because as we speak, there are men and women, children and the elderly that are trapped in the mangrove, who are not able to have access to medication and access to food, because the communities that they are attacking are the backwater communities in the creek that are only accessible by boat. And so the only access route is blocked. It makes it difficult for people to survive in those communities, because all food supplies come from the city.
Now, can the enormity of the government response to this level of violence and insurgents' threats and attacks be justified, given the fact that the hostages were taken and there were very grave threats made against them leading up to this confrontation with the government?
There is no justification to deploy military to fight criminality. Criminals are everywhere. It's not anything different from criminals in the city. Kidnapping is going on in the city. But that has not warranted deployment of military in those places. So why will the case and the situation of the communities in the Niger Delta be an exception? So for me, there's no justification. I am a firm believer that there is the need to effectively police the waterways, just as the need to police the urban and the cities is so strong. But I don't think that the policing that they need is that the military. I think a well-equipped police force, well-trained and fully mobilized, will be able to deal with the crime and the situation in every part of the country.
Some critics of the Nigerian government have said that the government has not been able to take this whole level of violence into perspective. Do you think that the Nigerian government can come up with a larger political strategy to bring about a real peace in the Delta and solve some of the underdevelopment problems that have been going on there for so long?
I doubt the sincerity of the government in trying to address the issues that are calling for attention, which is issues of development, environmental remediation, restoration of livelihood system of the locals in the Niger Delta. There is no political will to do that. Mr. President came up some few months ago to declare amnesty for militants in the region. And before the militants could take advantage of that, he has deployed the military to destroy communities. I think the strategy of the federal government is to silence the voice of the local communities, intimidate them with the military, and, just to make them to instill fear in them. As far as I'm concerned, from what is going on and the strategies that have been adopted in the past up till this moment, there is no political will on the part of the government, and there is no sincerity to address the problem.
And yet there have been voices that are speaking out to promote greater development in the region, greater revenue sharing, greater access to the oil in that locality itself that produces it. Do you think that there is any attempt by the government to accommodate this and satisfy some of the needs?
As far as I know, the government does not want any opposition. And even the men that they have criminalized, as always, they're calling for even a third-party mediation talk to facilitate a peace process that will bring both the government and the locals in the Niger Delta to the table to begin to discuss the issues. But the government has not heeded. They claim to have a solution to the problem, and I think their solution to the problem is deployment of military to crush any opposition, and that's what they are doing. So the government does not have the ears to listen to the voice of the opposition. They don't have the ears to listen to genuine concerns and agitation. This has been going on. The claim that this is because there were some hostages and kidnapping is not justifiable. The JTF had developed this strategy a long time ago on how they are going to take on the communities in the Niger Delta to quell any agitation from the region. So it is not surprising that what is happening now. So as far as I'm concerned, the government is not willing and is not in a position to listen to the voice of opposition.
But there were extra threats this time around. The militants gave the government just 48 hours to clear out of the region, or else they would take drastic measures with the hostages they were holding. Do you think that the Abuja government could afford to ignore those threats and not do anything about them?
Well, as far as I know, the issue of the hostages was a kind of follow-up to the first military attack on communities. And the claim was that they took those hostages as human shields to prevent further attack from the military. Now, in terms of whether they should take this threat seriously or not, this is not the first time that statements like that have been made. Groups have issued statements in the past, and most times those statements are made with the hope that the government will call them for a dialogue, and that has not always happened. But in this case, in the past, sometimes what the government has done is to call the leadership to have a discussion with them. But this time they decide to use the might of the military.
The other group that was threatened, especially this time, were the oil companies themselves, who were told to get out of the region within 48 hours. How much do you think the American public realizes that the huge jump in gas prices this holiday weekend may be related to the violence in the Niger Delta?
I think the knowledge of the American public on the issues and in the repercussion of the crisis in the Delta on the price of oil is very low. One thing which I think you may be aware of is that in 2004, when Asare Dokubo at that time declared that he was going to take on the military and give the federal government ultimatum, it was the first time that the price of oil went above $50. And it is also related to the effect that the price of supplies from Nigerian crude has gone down as a result of this crisis. Now, concerning the threat on oil companies to evacuate the region, part of, I think, why that was made, I don't want to hold brief for them, but I do know that in the past, the military, under the guise of rooting out militants, have also perpetrated some evil and havoc. There was a case of where the military invaded some youth who rescued Shell staff from Letukbene, and the staff and those who went there to rescue the Shell staff were killed. And at the end of the day, it was blamed on the youth. So I think the threat has to do with the fact that the situation is not very safe for locals, so it can't also be safe for oil installation, so they need to evacuate the region. So I think that might be the reason why those threats were issued. Again, like I said, I'm not in a position to speak for them absolutely.
But do you think that those threats against the oil companies is what led to the huge hike in prices of gasoline this current month?
Of course. You know, Nigeria is a very strategic ally, and Nigeria today supplies about 20% of U.S. oil. The bulk of oil supply to the East Coast comes from Nigeria, and since there's instability, the major pipeline that supplies oil in the region has been blown off arising from this conflict. I'm not surprised that the price of gas is beginning to go up. So it's directly related to the conflict that is going on there. It is unfortunate that the general U.S. public is not paying so much attention to what is going on because of a number of conflicts that are going on around the world.
If the U.S. public was paying greater attention to this issue, do you think that there would be more pressure on U.S. policymakers to intervene with Abuja and change the policy?
Of course. The Nigerian government is a strong ally of the U.S. government, and to the extent that they have this healthy relationship to protect both countries' strategic interests, I do know that if there is pressure on the Obama administration to intervene in the situation in the Delta, and there is the same level of pressure on the Nigerian government, I'm sure that the Nigerian government will do things differently.
Civil society groups around the United States are urging lawmakers and the Obama administration to intervene and halt the violence. Has the Obama administration given any signals about how it plans to help bring about an end to the violence?
None that I'm aware of. I know that some of the senators, like Senator Russ Feingold of the Foreign Relations Committee and Senator John Kerry of the same committee, have made some statements, but no statement has been made from the executive branch.